months ago when I woke up in the middle of the night, as I do more often than I like to, and I turned on the radio and listened to, it was probably one of the American public broadcasting programs, which seems to surface every once in a while in the middle of the night. And there was a story told in that that I don't remember all the details of, but the import of it was on some controversial matter, somebody probably on Facebook, you know, posted an opinion about it and then received multiple attacks or abuse from someone he didn't know, which just kept coming and kept coming. Somehow, he found out that the person who was abusing him was in debt. And so what he did was pay off that person's debt. And a relationship obviously began after that. And that reminded me of something I've been thinking about on and off over several years, I think, and that's the parallels between two concepts from two different spiritual approaches that it seems to me are very parallel to each other and share a great deal. One is the idea in Buddhism of the Buddha within. The other is the idea that's central to the Society of Friends, Quakers, that of God in everyone, as they express it in a Christian sense. So I've been reflecting a little bit on those two things and what they may indicate and what they may help us with in our own practice. So to go back to unpack a little bit about the idea of the Buddha within goes way, way, way back to Sanskrit and seems to have a meaning of something like containing a Tathagata or the Tathagata in the womb, you know, within us, and the Tathagata meaning the thus gone one, which is usually an epithet or description of Buddhas and of various Buddhas, including the Sakyamuni Buddha. So it seems to indicate that we all contain somewhere buried in our wombs, in ourselves, the capacity to be a Buddha. Now, when we look around the world, we might not see that immediately, that there are lots of Buddhas wandering around the world. So obviously, this birthright that we have originally gets lost in most of us in a world of sort of self-centered suffering, that there's so much going on and we're thinking some putting ourselves and our own needs first, that it's hard to be conscious of this Buddha within. It seems to me there are two dimensions to this Buddha within idea. One is about oneself, that I have this capacity, if I can somehow liberate it from within, give birth to it from my womb, I can be a Buddha. The other side, other dimension is, well, it's not only me. Everybody in this room, everybody out there has that same capacity. And just like me, most of them have lost it to one degree or another. They might be buried very far down, and some people might be closer to the surface than others. In our sutra book, we've got Torai Zenji's Bodhisattva's Vow, which we read occasionally on Sundays and definitely in our longer retreats. And Torres Angi reminds us that those who call forth irritation or anger within us when we encounter them present a particularly valuable opportunity for our practice. He says, among other things, we can be especially understanding and affectionate with those who persecute and direct abusive language towards us. They help us to liberate us entirely from the mean-spirited delusions we have built up, and we completely relinquish our self-centered selves as a result of that. In the Quaker heritage, which is more recent than the Zen, going back to the 17th century, the founder of the Society of Friends, George Fox, wrote, and this is often quoted in Quaker literature, "Be patterns, be examples in all countries, places, islands, nations, wherever you come, that your carriage and life may preach among all sorts of people and to them. Then you will come to walk cheerfully over the world, answering that of God and everyone, whereby in them you may be a blessing and make the witness of God in them to bless you." So there's a reciprocal effect of being able to do that. So if we live our lives in a certain way, he's suggesting, honoring that of God in all sorts of people, this will have a transformative effect on them and also on us. It's a blessing to everybody, to put it in Christian terms. So it seems to me there's some, you know, striking similarities between those two very disparate cultures, you know, born at different times and in completely different cultures. I think help us think through and to, well, help us in practice to sensitize us to human potential. And though we don't always see this in practice, certainly among Buddhists, Quakers may be a little bit better about that, with the practice of that God, that of God in everyone, can be seen in the peace testimony of Quakers, who are generally pacifists. And particularly in sort of ever more everyday mundane interactions, the idea of consensus, that there, we respect all views of other people and we try to find a way to work together, but we honor that view, even if it's different from our view, and then try to figure out a way to transcend differences, if that's possible, which it isn't always. Okay, so in both cases, we can activate a human quality that potentially transcends our self-centered proclivities, and through our own conduct, we can activate this quality in both ourselves, starting with ourselves, and in others, transforming individuals we encounter, and at best, you know, transforming the world as well through these encounters. So that there are various ways in which we can practice this. I mentioned the trolling, the web trolling story. I was very taken, I don't know how many people watched the documentary, it's also a movie, but the documentary I think is much better, on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the American Supreme Court Justice, is quite a remarkable woman. She's got very, very strong views, and she's, in a sense, well, not single-handedly, but transformed American justice toward in gender issues. So she's very, very tough on that, and a very tough old woman at this point, it seems. But at the very end of it, they showed her going to a concert with her polar opposite on the Supreme Court, Justice Alito, who has very conservative views on things like that. And they were just having a great time talking about music and sharing their enjoyment of opera or whatever that was. And that reminds us that both of them have very, very strong and opposite views, but that there seemed to be a kind of respect, so that that of God within the conservative or within the very liberal was being honored by each of them. I don't know how many local drivers we have here, but particularly before the Warrandyte Bridge was expanded, going downhill toward Warrandyte from Kangaroo Ground, the road from Research comes in on the right, and one of the Kangaroo Ground, it tees into the Kangaroo Main Road. And one of the most uplifting mundane experiences I would have would be driving in traffic downhill to get on the bridge and watching people alternate, giving way to each other, even though there was a clear legal right of way, I think, for the main road probably, you know, to go through. Now it's controlled by a light. And I think people really enjoyed it. Just an understanding, okay, you know, and the queues would stretch back at least a kilometer on my road. I don't know how far on the other road. And yet, what difference is it going to make? And people, and often with a smile on the face, where people would, you know, encourage the cars coming at right angles to them. And it was just an understanding among human beings. We're all in this together. We all share that of God. We all have, you know, this inner Buddha. So let's practice that way. So there are lots of ways. There are lots of opportunities, as Tora Zenji says, to practice the idea of the Buddha within us and acknowledge the Buddha within others as well. It seems to me it's especially important. Well, we've just gone through a very bitter election campaign, and there'll be a lot of dissatisfaction in many of us, I think, about how it may have turned out. In this, and the world just seems to me, as a grumpy old man, just increasingly polarized and increasingly violent in the way people adhere to and attack at their own points of view and attack other people. So this poses a practice question to us. It might be fairly easy with the Wyandotte Bridge, for instance, to let somebody in ahead of you when you're dealing with someone who has very, very strong and very, very different views on issues that translate into politics. It's harder. But can we approach human interactions of all sorts with an attitude that both we and the difficult people we meet share that potential of acting as a Buddha and meet them as Buddha to Buddha? I just had an acute thought when I was sitting before, and that's I have an ongoing aversion to dealing with Telstra. I don't know if other people do. I wonder what it would be like if I picked up the phone and pictured a Buddha sort of on the other end of the phone when I'm trying to sort out a problem and try to see her, you know, in that light, probably trying to do the best she can for an organization which is just completely out of control. So there's an opportunity for me to try to bring out what's in me, and also to acknowledge that there's something similar in her case. So for both our sakes, can we aim at least to liberate this quality in both of us? It certainly can't hurt, I think, and it may reduce the potential for suffering and all concerned.